Let's pray together. Our Father, we come before you with great humility, knowing that your word is powerful and effective, knowing and echoing the words that there is no one like you, that life is meaningless without you, and that you have given us great purpose here on the earth. So, oh God, give us your word today to form us into the instruments that you would have us to be. That's our prayer this morning. Lord, form us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A few sounds I want to make for you. And I want to see if you can figure out the meaning of these sounds. There will be no words, merely sounds. So let's see if you can gather the meaning of these. Da na 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 na. Charge. You got it. Pretty good. Good on our military weekend. How about another one? Ba ba ba. Ba ba ba. What is it? Yeah. No words. Taps. How about this one? My son got it. Pay attention. Psst, hey, I got something to tell you. And maybe one more. Got it? That means my wife just walked in the room. If you didn't figure that one out. Many times we communicate non-verbally. We can communicate with sounds. And as you've already seen this morning, we've had an organ playing, we've had a piano, some flutes, a trumpet, a violin, cello, guitar, voices. You've heard these things. This morning, Paul's argument, and Paul's going to continue to try to tell us the value of distinction and intelligibility. It would be foolish of me to come to you and just bring random sounds. It would be foolish of me to make sounds of things that you didn't understand what they meant. It would be foolish of me to try to get your attention by doing something that would not get your attention. Or try to tell the military unit to charge if you didn't want them to charge. Or they didn't understand the sounds of the charge theme or the retreat theme. It would be foolish of me to say to you, we give great honor to those of our soldiers who have died. If you didn't understand what taps was, you wouldn't be able to connect with the meaning of that song playing. This is Paul's argument that the word of God needs to be understood by people. Not just spoken over people, not just said, but understood. And this is why I am so thankful that we live in a day and age that we have God's word in a language that we can understand. You can look at the pew in front of you and you have a Bible that you can pick up, read, and understand. It is a blessing to have the word of God that we can understand with us. So as we think about that, and as we thank God for that, let us turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We got through about four verses last week, so we'll pick up in verse 5. If you haven't been with us in 1 Corinthians, this is Paul's letter to a church in Corinth about drawing them back to biblical worship, drawing them back to biblical understanding, and drawing them back to Jesus Christ our Lord. And he begins a section here, if you will, in chapter 12 when he begins to talk about speaking the words of Jesus. And we'll look at that a little bit more today, but spiritual gifts are speaking the great truth that Jesus is Lord. And that's what the church is gathered together to do, is to speak the truth that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And we are gifted in ways, brothers and sisters, in order to help that message of Jesus as Lord be proclaimed, not only to each other, but also when we leave this place and we act like we act outside of this building and off of these premises. Let's begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. For context, pursue love, and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you might, what? And what do we define prophesy or prophecy as? That is, speaking of the word of God. We define that from the book of Isaiah. Prophecy is just that. It's speaking the words of God. And here in the first century, we have Paul, an apostle, speaking the words of God. We have others, John, speaking the word of God. We have Jude speaking the word of God. We have Peter speaking the word of God. And they have been captured for us so that we might be able to understand them and read them as a church together to help sharpen us and bring us to a place where we can proclaim Jesus. That's the point. Spiritual gifts for proclaiming Jesus. Verse 2. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. And we looked at this last week. Tongues not as in a way of babbling or speaking in an ununderstood language, but one who speaks in a language that's not understood is one who's speaking to God, but it doesn't do any good for anybody around you. And we'll develop that a bit, but as we've looked through this is the clear meaning is that we want not just to speak to God, but we in the church want to speak to each other in an intelligible way so that we can understand each other. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. So here's the one speaking the word of God so that people understand it, and it builds people up and encourages and it comforts us. And we looked at those last week. Verse 4. The one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up. If I'm speaking praise to God in a language that no one else understands, that is, it's legitimate. And Paul does not say, don't do that. Now, this was in a church area that was filled with lots of different languages being spoken. He's saying, look, I don't forbid anybody speaking in a language. But you've got to know that the teaching of the church needs to be in a language that the people can understand. But the one who prophesies is building up the church. Okay? Verse 5 is what we'll dig in today. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church might be built up. Now, understanding Paul writing to this church at Corinth, to Christian believers who were seeking to worship the Lord, there has been somewhat of a problem in the church and where there's disorder. And you're going to see Paul trying to correct the people speaking out of turn and things getting into a place where people are not growing or understanding or learning in the church. This is what Paul's point to the church at Corinth is. We want worship that is intelligible and beneficial to those who are there. That's what church is about here. So Paul says, look, I want you to speak in tongues. I want you to speak in language. I want people to praise to God in their native language and native tongue. But more important than that is the prophecy that happens, the speaking of the word of God in an intelligible way. Because, yes, praise is good. In fact, it's very good, and he encourages it here. But hearing the word of God is necessary for any praise to happen. If we don't hear the word of God, how will we give praise? And we're going to develop that thought a little bit more in a moment. But I want us to understand that praise is good, but hearing the word of God, Paul says, needs to be elevated. The one who prophesies, verse 5, is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. He's more important. He needs to be given priority in the church than someone just merely praising God in a language that others may or may not understand. The church is about hearing the word of God, needs to hear the word of God in order that praise might come from the church. Now look at verse 6. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you? In other words, if I come in this foreign language that you don't understand, how's it going to benefit you? Unless I bring some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching. Paul is saying, I'm an apostle. I'm coming to you. I want to bring you the word of God. I want to bring you teaching, knowledge, revelation. I want to bring you something that you can benefit from. And some may ask, well, why do we spend 30 minutes of our church service in a sermon? Well, one of the reasons is because I don't think that my opinions are very important. But I do believe the Word of God is very important. And so we elevate the time in this church that you hear the teaching in the Word of God. Why don't we spend an hour before church in Bible study? Well, because Bible study feeds and builds worship in God's people and overflows into praise and worship. This is important. Paul says this, and very clearly, he wants to bring this message to us. We are being built up. Now, this is an interesting thing that I want to develop a little bit. And it's an important part that I think sometimes we ignore when we think about church and our role in church and what we're doing. One major part of the church experience is being built up. Now, if you look back at verse 5, and Wayne, I don't know if you can go back a verse, but he says, the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongue, unless someone interprets, meaning it into an intelligible language, so that the church might be, and look at the last phrase, what is it the church needs to be? Built up. And this idea of being built up in church is important. Now, some take this to the far extreme to say, well, church, when we come to church, it's all about making you feel good. It needs to be a pep rally. It needs to be something that's just for building you up and making you a better person. Right? Some will take this to the other extreme and say there needs to be no benefit. When you come to church, there's nothing that needs to happen to you. All you need to do is recite or go through these algorithms and come and then go. Well, I think both of those extremes lead to trouble. Here's what I would encourage you to think about. That there are both things happening here in church. There is a sense in which you are built up when you come to church. When you leave, because you hear the Word of God and you are made stronger. But it is not merely to make you a better person. There is a sense in which you come to give in church A great part of why you come to church is to praise and exalt Jesus Christ and offer things to Him. Yes. So both of those, when you work together, what you understand is what Paul is saying here is that we come to church to give unto the Lord, to sacrifice unto the Lord, and this is our verse, that we have things that are pleasing to God here. Okay? That's part of doing good and sharing what we have and sacrificing, but also in that, we are built up and made stronger and encouraged when we come to church. Our brothers and sisters around us encourage us, hopefully. Hopefully you are encouraging others when you come to church. Watch this in 1 Peter chapter 2. I know our men are studying this. Such a great book, 1 Peter. As you come to Him, look what Peter tells us. A living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. So in other words, as you come to Jesus, the living stone that was rejected, but He's precious. Watch verse 5. You yourselves like living stones. In other words, in a similar way, you are a stone. And what are we doing as stones? We are being what? Do you see it here? You, like living stones, are what? Being built up. There's the same idea of building up. In other words, you are becoming into something that you were not. You're being built up. Now watch this. Many will say, yeah, see, I am great. I'm such an important part of the church. Or I'm so great, the church couldn't do it without me. No. So I'll give you one of these. Listen up. That's not the point. That's not the kind of building up we're talking about. Watch what he says here. You yourselves are being built up as a spiritual house. To be a holy priesthood. To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This building up is not to build you up into a great showman. This being built up is the idea that we're being built together into a house that is made for worship. Elsewhere, Paul will say, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. The idea that oftentimes we miss is God is building us. The Lord is graciously forming us into a new temple. The old temple has been destroyed. It was decisively destroyed in an act of judgment against God's people that were not worshiping properly. Today, God's temple is a spiritual kingdom. It's a spiritual house. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are being built up into a spiritual house. That's why Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. It's a spiritual house. It's a spiritual kingdom. So church, here you go. You are part of the temple of God, the new, the fully realized temple of God. And you are part of the priesthood to offer sacrifices unto God. That's where Paul is going with this. That's where Peter's going with this. That's what the Lord is teaching us through this. So let's step back into our text in 1 Corinthians. Now the work of God comes to chisel away, to fashion and form you, to burn away the dross, to make you into that peace and that temple, that place where worship takes place. Well, preacher, how is that applicable to my life? That's a great question. And here's the response that I would have to that. Your purpose is to be a worshiper of the living God. If your time, effort, energy, resources are more invested into things of this world, then this is where the Word of God comes in to correct us and to put us in our place and say, nope, I'm more concerned about my sports team than I am Jesus Christ. There's a problem. I'm more concerned about what's going on Facebook than I am about the kingdom of God. That's a problem. This is where the Word of God says that we are a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood, that are to be sacrificing things to God. Look, there's nothing wrong with your sports team, and there's nothing wrong with Facebook, for the most part. But when those things, when our jobs, when our bodies, when our relationship becomes more important than our work as a house of worship, then we have a problem. Do you understand that? This is real practical application. We need to come and read the Word of God and be taught the Word of God and understand intelligibly the Word of God so that we can make corrections to our lives, that we can be proper temples, holy to the Lord. In our Sunday school class this morning, we looked at that bronze placard that was on the turban, on the forehead of the priest. And y'all know what it said, right? What did it say? Holy to the Lord. That is to be us. We are the priesthood now. Do you get it? When we leave this place, there are thousands of people out there who have no idea who Jesus Christ is, other than what they've seen in pictures or heard people laughing at. We are the priesthood called together by the intelligible Word of God to shape us into houses of worship that we take and tabernacle among people and show them Jesus Christ. And we tabernacle and the National Guard and show them Jesus Christ. And we tabernacle at our engineering firms and our plants and our jobs that we go to at home with our children, teaching them every day. We are houses of worship. Lord, make us into houses of worship planted everywhere throughout this community and in our homes and in our jobs. That's what the Word of God needs to do for us. Shape us into worshiping houses of God together. You get that? That's it. That's where we're going. That's what Jesus has called us to. This is why the intelligible and understandable Word of God is important to us. He gives an illustration. Look in verse 7. Even if lifeless instruments, such as a flute or the harp, do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is being played? If Miss Shirley or Miss Effie Lee, if they just played a C the entire time throughout the song, it would not be very effective to us. We wouldn't know what to sing. We wouldn't have a melody line to sing. We wouldn't know. That's what he's saying here. If there aren't distinct notes, how will anyone know what to sing? And for you military folks, on this military Sunday, Memorial Weekend, and if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? The bugle is only useful in this war scenario if people understand what the bugle is telling them. So the Word of God. If the Word of God is not understandable to us, what use is it? It's just words on a page. So with yourselves, if you with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. Friends, may it never be, brothers and sisters, may it never be that we come to the church and speak words into the air. May it never be that you come and just hear my opinions or my thoughts. May it never be. May it be that the Word of God is spoken to you and that the Word of God does its perfect work in you. That is the purpose, one of the primary purposes of being in church, to hear the Word of God. One of my primary purposes in this church is to speak the Word of God intelligibly for you to hear, receive, and shape you into the temple that you need to be. I hope you know, I take that very seriously. Very seriously. So what is your job in all this? I've told you my job, the job of the church is to communicate the Word of God clearly. If you are in church this morning, you do have a responsibility, I hope you know. It's not just my job on a Sunday morning. I love being here. I love it. And I know many of you out there love being here, and that makes me happy. But you have a job as well here on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights. You have a job. It's not just to come and enjoy church, although it's great, and I enjoy it. Your job as you come is to let the Word of God do its work in you. If you've gotten to the place to where you are not knowing God more, that is a bad place to be. If you've gotten to a place where you think you've known all you need to know, or you say something like, well, I'm too old to learn anymore, or I know enough, I'm good enough now, those are bad thoughts to have, and those are not biblical thoughts to have, as you can see here. The Lord wants us to understand what's going on and to be shaped and formed into a holy to the Lord temple of God. Please never get to that place. The point of this is that you know God more and that you can make Him known more. Friends, if you've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and you're here this morning, if you've never heard the redeeming work that is in that Jesus Christ did upon a cross, that He was despised and rejected among those whom He came to save, they rejected Him, nailed Him to the cross, a sinless man on a cross who died. If you've never heard the message that Jesus Christ did die, He prayed, Father, forgive them, bowed His head, breathed His last, died, was buried, and 3 days later rose from the dead to show us that we would have eternal life and can have eternal life and victory over death. If you don't know that and you've never understood that, then please, I'd love to talk with you more about that. You find somebody in this church who can share with you more about who Jesus is and His redeeming work. It's God's Word is given to us as a revelation, as a witness to us to know Him. Very important part of this. So come to know Jesus if you don't know Him. Verse 10. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. Look, if this isn't convicting to me, I don't know what is. Paul is not speaking about unintelligible languages or languages made up or things like that. He's speaking about languages with meaning here. He's clear. There are many languages in the world. None is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker and a speaker of the foreigner to me. So with yourself, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. There it is again, building up the church. So brothers and sisters, when you come this morning, if you have a job, your job is to hear God's word. Your job is to be changed by God's word, to be willing to change. And your job is to then build up others in the word of God. Look, just because I'm the preacher doesn't mean that I don't get built up by you sharing the word of God with me. And you can look around, look at somebody next to you. That person is encouraged by God's word. So you build them up in God's word, not in a false way. We went to a play Thursday night, and my daughter was helping out with it, and the name of it was Willy Wonka. If you've ever seen Willy Wonka, you might be familiar with it, but at one point, this young lady, which one was it, Abby, that took the gum? Violet, thank you. Violet took a piece of gum she wasn't supposed to. And as she did that, in the play, it was quite amusing. They had some sort of apparatus on her that she started to blow up. And if you've ever seen the movie, Violet blows up and turns into almost like a balloon. And she's built up into a puffy balloon. And it causes problems for her. She gets in trouble, of course, with that. Look, the building up that I'm speaking of God's word, is not a faulty building up. It's not putting on pounds just to have more pounds. It's putting on muscle, if you will. It's getting in the weight room. It's doing reps in order to get your body into a position where you can lift more, push more, pull more, do more. This is the same idea of the being built up. You are being strengthened so that you can be a better priest unto the Lord. Does that make sense? This is the building up that he's talking about, not just filling up with air. Look, we got a lot of people that have big heads. We don't need more big heads in America. We need strong soldiers for the kingdom, workers for the kingdom. Jesus said the harvest is white. Pray that more workers may come. That's what we need. And how does that happen? Verse 12 tells us, y'all see it in there? How are people built up? You tell me. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestation of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Do you remember? Do you remember? Do you remember back in chapter 12? Let me read it for you one more time. Chapter 12, verse 3 through 7. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. You remember that? We looked at it. No one speaking in the Spirit, now this is what we talked about, spiritual gifts, speaking of the Spirit. No one speaking in the Spirit says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit is speaking through his people. And he's saying Jesus is Lord in the Spirit. These are the manifestations of the Spirit that we just saw in verse 12. Verse 4 of chapter 12. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given, and here's that phrase again, the manifestation of the Spirit. Why? For the common good. All right. What do you do with all this? Because we're kind of wrapping up a section here. What do we do with all this? Here's what you and I, a very important truth that you and I need to understand. Okay, let's go back and review this whole idea together. Jesus Christ came as the representation of who God is and a witness of who God is. His own people rejected him. Years later, AD 70, temple destroyed. Today, we read, and Peter, as he writes, and Paul, as he writes, they're telling us, we are the new temple. We don't need a physical place of worship. Jesus himself said in John chapter 4, there's coming a day where you won't worship on this mountain. True worship is in spirit and in truth. We are the worshipers of God. You and I are the temples of the living God. In that, we, by the word of God, are building each other up through his word, helping form and fashion each other into the instruments God has made us to be for the common good, so that we, when we come together, can be one great temple of worship, can be one great people of God for his glory. That's it. You are a temple. We are a greater temple, and we are for God's glory. So, Christian, my charge to you is this. My charge to you is back in verse 12, what it says. So, with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestation of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church, that we might glorify God in the process. You with me? You with me? All right. So your task, build up the church by speaking Jesus is Lord. Build each other up by speaking the word of God, that we might glorify our God in heaven. Can we do that? Let's pray for the strength, for God to build us and make us into his temple. Oh, Father, help us. Oh, Father, help us. We're just lifeless instruments without your Spirit. We are just worthless pieces of rubble without your Spirit in us. Lord, help us communicate intelligibly to each other, to build each other up. Help us to grow, oh God, into the kingdom of priests you've called us to be. Lord, help us to take this concept that we are your people, we are your representatives, and help us to leave this place and act like it in our homes, in our offices, and everywhere we go, Lord. We want to represent the King and represent him well. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.